Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwee. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He is a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
I'm just going to read quickly in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. From verse 14, the Bible says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Hallelujah. The grace, last week we learned about the grace of the Lord Jesus. We learn also about the love of God. Amen. And I did introduce you to the subject of the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we started last week by saying that Christianity is not a religion, right? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And then we also learned that there are carnal Christians, and then there are spiritual Christians. Carnal Christians are people who come to church, yes, they might even love God, but they do not have a connection with God. Amen. And then we have spiritual Christians, people that are spiritual. They are awakened spiritually. They are awakened spiritually. And I was sharing with you last week that you cannot be spiritual without the Holy Spirit. Christianity, or, you know, the things of God are not natural. Do you understand that? It's very, very impossible for you to go anywhere with God if you are not spiritual. However, you cannot be spiritual without the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It takes the Holy Spirit for you to become a spiritual person. When you were born in this world, you were born physically, but your spirit was dead, meaning your spirit is disconnected from God. God is a spirit being. We saw that last week. For you to begin to enjoy Christianity, you need to activate your spirit being. So the fellowship, the communion, has to start. Now, I want to show you something in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you want to turn there quickly, please. John, chapter 14, and verse 15. The Bible there says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Do you see that? "That he may abide with you for a week." For how long?
Forever.
Another helper. That word you see there, another, is the Greek word allos. A-double-L-O-S. Allos means another of the same kind. Heteros means another of a different kind. Do you understand? Halos means another of the same kind. Basically, Jesus was telling the disciples, another me is coming, but he is just of a different kind. For you to understand halos, just take water and ice. Ice is water, but of another kind. It is the same water. just in another form. Then you also see vapor. Vapor is water, but in another form. So you have the liquid water, then you have ice water, then you have vapor. All of them, it's the same thing. It's water, but different kind. Do you understand? All of them are CO2. Is it CO2? The formula? All right. H2O, yes, that's right. H2O. Now, I will pray the Father, and he will give you money. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So Jesus knew that he was a helper to the disciples. He was helping them, assisting them with their needs. But then he says, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Once the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he comes forever. He will never leave you. He will always be with you. Even when you sin, he's there. The only problem is that you can't hear him because you are disconnected. But he is there. He will never ever leave you. He will never forsake you. That is what forever means. Does forever means forever? Forever means he will be there always. He will never leave you. He's never going to go anywhere. Therefore, this means that we need help forever. We forever need help. Now, verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So a worldly person cannot receive the Holy Spirit. A worldly person. A person that is full of the world. You love the world. You love the things of the world. You will never receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The world cannot receive him, but you know him. You see, it doesn't say the world cannot receive it. And you know it. Talks about a person. The world cannot receive him. And you know him. For he dwells with you and will be where? In you. This is a person we are talking about. Him, not it. When it is a dog, you say it. You don't say him. When it is a cell phone, you say it. You don't say him. But God is talking about him. So that's why we're talking about fellowship, communion. Because this is God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. It's a person that you receive. A person, is not a human being, but he's a being. You receive him, then you and him start the journey. Hallelujah. Quickly, I want to talk about three types of people who will receive the Holy Spirit. There are three types of people. How many of you would like to receive the Holy Spirit? Okay. The Holy Spirit is available to all of us. Number one, let's start with Joel chapter 2, verse 28, to tell you that the Holy Spirit is God's desire for every single person. In the days of the Old Testament, not everybody had access to the Holy Spirit. Only kings, priests, and prophets had access to the Holy Spirit. So, and the Holy Spirit never used to come and stay with people. So you will hear that the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and then I prophesied. After he prophesied, he left you again. He was never staying with the people. And the Spirit of the Lord was never coming on everybody. He was coming on three types of people, the kings. So you hear that the kings were anointed and the Spirit would come upon them. Then the priest. Then the prophets. Those were the only three types of people that could have access to the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Not everybody could receive the Holy Spirit. Not everybody could work with the Holy Spirit. Imagine an entire nation, only three people have the Holy Spirit. The king, the priest, and the prophet. Only three people. The rest are lost. But God is gracious. From the days of prophet Joel, he began to tell us that a time is going to come where he's going to give the same thing he gave King David. He's going to give it to the poorest man in the country. The person that has no future, that no one believes in the person. God says the same thing that made David, David. Look, do you know what made David, David? It was the anointing. When they anointed him, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerful upon him. And from that moment, he became a different person. The same thing happened to Saul. Now, God was saying that in the last days, I'm going to give this same thing to everybody. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Let's look at that verse quickly. And then you will see what the Bible says there. In the last days, it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on how many people? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. God didn't even talk about speaking in tongues. That came a bit later. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost was into these realms. Prophecy, dreams, and visions. When you have the Holy Spirit, the way you talk start changing. Prophecy is all about speaking. When the Holy Ghost is on your life, you start having dreams. You know, we've learned that dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost speaks mostly through dreams and visions. It is very rare that the Holy Ghost is going to talk to you with an audible voice. Do you understand? It is very, very rare. Most of the time, the Holy Ghost is going to speak to you through an idea. And you might even think it's you, because sometimes it seems like it's you talking. It seems like you're having a conversation with yourself. Because he uses dreams and visions to speak to you. An idea will just come to your mind. And that idea is his language, his way. He uses image. Do you understand? Similitudes. How does the Holy Ghost speak? Pastor Pascal is going to stand on stage and he begins to preach. As Pastor Pascal is preaching, God will make you realize that this is exactly what you're going to be doing 2 years from now. Like just by looking at me, God is already telling you this is your future. You watch TV and you look at a person and God is saying to you, never be like that person. You go to work and the Holy Ghost is talking to you. He shows you a person that has failed and he says to you, never be like that one. He might never speak audibly, but he's going to use a vision, an image to you. And then you say, this one, never be like this one. Never make the mistake that one just made. Be like this one. That's how he speaks. He's going to use vision. Then sometimes it's a vision that you have actually a vision of something. Do you understand? That you have a real vision. So that's how the Holy... So you tap... Now many believers are having nightmares. Not visions. People following them, all kinds of things happening. Like they are not. That's where you need to come out of that dimension and enter the dimension where God is speaking. God is showing you what is going on. He is giving you a dream for your life. God is showing you what you're going to be. He showed Dave and Joseph. I think Joseph was about between 12 and 15 when God showed him a dream of him being in a throne. All these sorts of things. It is the same God today. Why do you reduce the Holy Ghost to only speaking in tongues? He wants to give you a dream for your life. A dream for your ministry. Without a vision, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, he says that your son and your daughter, your young men will see visions. Receive visions in Jesus' name. Your young men will see. So young people, why does God choose to give visions to young people? Because they have a future. When you are young, God can make you see something that you can still achieve. And when you are already 45, 60, what God gives you now a vision to go and start a university, you are 60 already. How many years will you take to just read the books? So God makes it easy. When you are a bit older, he gives you dreams. Dreams are more like what is about. So he shows you something that is taking place, and then you can call yourself, say, you know what, God just showed me this, be careful. You know, my daughter, you know what, God showed me this, be careful. Dreams are more like something that is taking place now or something that is about to happen. But a vision is something of the future.
young people that are in this, you should be crying for God for visions. A vision for your life, a vision for your career, a vision for your ministry, a vision. I will never forget the day we were in Mokwase and Pastor Pauline, she said, "Do you have a vision for your marriage?" And it dawned to me that I had never ever had it. I had never visualized
what my marriage must look like. Never. You only get what you see. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I will give you. If you cannot see something, God can never bring it to you. That's why it is important to have a vision. And the Holy Spirit comes to sharpen your vision. He comes to give you a vision and to sharpen it. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, you will be busy with darkness. No vision. Receive a fresh vision in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, visions and dreams, all these things are what the Holy Ghost does. And I want to tell you three types of people that will have access to the Holy Spirit. The first group is the people who believe. So what do I need for me to receive the Holy Spirit? Number one, I need to believe. Galatians chapter 3 verse 2. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe. Galatians chapter 3 verse 2. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Holy Spirit because what? You believed the message you heard about Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to believers, people who believe things they can't see, people who believe things that are not natural, that are not there. So the first requirement for you to tap into the world of the Spirit, you have to believe. You have to believe. You need to believe. Amen. You need to believe. Be a believer. Don't be a doubter. Be a believer. Believe God. Now, many people struggle to believe God because most of the things of God are unseen. Do you see? You can't see them. Like I would now say, now the Holy Spirit is here. But you can't see the Holy Spirit. So how can you believe something you don't see? So you need another type of mind for you to tap into this realm. A lot of people can only believe what they can see. But the Holy Ghost is given to people who believe. Okay, I believe in what? I believe what God says in His Word. God says that He will pour out the Spirit on everybody. I believe that. I don't believe fallacy. I believe the Bible. The Bible says that God will give the Holy Ghost to those, to everybody. I am a person. I am a flesh. So, and God says that in the last day, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And we know that the last days began from the days of the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost came for the first time. Ever since the Holy Ghost came in the days of Pentecost, the last days began. From that moment, we are in the last days, from the days of Pentecost. Ever since those days, the Holy Ghost has been given to just about anybody who believes. Yeah. Peter and John, they go to this place. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, we don't know there's Holy Spirit. Okay, lay hands on them. They receive the Holy Ghost. They are no king. They are not a priest. They are not a prophet. They are just people. And they just believe and they receive the Holy Spirit. I see you receiving the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Please, brothers and sisters, try to sit still. Do me that favor, please. Just be a bit still. We're just talking for a few minutes and we're out of here. So the first group are those who believe. Amen? Say with me, I am a believer. Number two, those who obey. I'm explaining to you why some people don't receive the Holy Spirit. First of all, some people don't believe. And then other people don't obey God. Do you understand? All right. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to who? To those who obey Him. The Holy Ghost is first given to those who believe. Then the Holy Ghost is given to those who obey God. So you can't just begin to, you know, there are people who are speaking in tongues. It is their own tongues. The Holy God has never, who gives the Holy Ghost? Given by who? All by yourself. You are giving yourself the Holy Spirit. Huh? You are giving it to yourself. The Holy Ghost is given to those who obey God. It's not just that you are living a life of disobedience. You're doing the things you want to do. That's why I told you that story here last week. Of this guy, I knew he's fornicating. Then the guy comes to church. We are all crying for the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, shaba. And then, no, I said, no, it can't be. And that guy, he went back in the world. I said, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. God is not into entertainment. He's into transformation. So God knows our hearts. And God knows those who love Him. And He knows those who obey Him. I mean, something as precious as the Holy Ghost, you don't just give it to about anybody. So I'm just showing you the type of conditions that are now there. Number one, you must do what? You must be a believer. Number two, you must be obedient. Obedient to God. Obedient. A person who follows. Okay, what must I obey? Obey the instructions in the Bible. When God says do this, do it. You know, there is nothing as common to our time that disobedient people. Most people, they don't do anything. Like, everybody does what they want. And then follow instructions. God says this. These days, people have turned into, it's a Jonas, not a Joshua generation, it's a Jonas generation. God says, go to to Nineveh. Turns around 180 degrees, goes to Tarshish. He understands very well what God is saying. Do this, but he does this. Disobedient. Then they come to church, start speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, I don't know which tongues are those ones. I don't know which tongues are those ones. A total disobedient life. You are not submitted to God. You don't listen to God, but he must give you the Holy Ghost. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Him. Number two, to those who do what? To those who obey Him. Number three, there's a third group. Those who ask Him. Those who ask Him. And that is Luke chapter 11 verse 13. Those who ask Him. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. He doesn't give the Holy Spirit to everybody. Now he's telling us the third condition. I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask me. Are you guys here, church?
Yes.
Those who ask Him. And a lot of believers, this is never in their prayer list. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Ah, why? Father, give me breakthrough. Father, give me money now. Father, healing. Father, restoration. More money. The Holy Spirit, they don't ask. It seems like the Holy Ghost is not an important matter. I mean, if you are honest with yourself, when was the last time you asked God to give you the Holy Ghost? Let's be serious and let's be honest with ourselves. like among your prayer points, you put the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest. We never ask. I mean, we will ask for everything. We will even ask for rain. I never ask for the Holy Spirit. I ask for food, funny stuff. People are asking for their hair to grow more. Father, my hair is too short. Especially the ladies. Father, please, can you make my hair to grow more? No. They are not asking for the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because you think the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And then you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I already speak in tongues, so I don't need anything anymore about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon your life, and you will be able to function. A person that doesn't have the Holy Ghost is dead. I want to submit that to you. You are dead. And we find that account beautiful in the book of Genesis chapter 2, I think. I'm going to close there. It's beautiful. Wow. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 5. Okay, from verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. Hallelujah. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man. You see, a mist came and watered the place. So now there was a bit of mud. Then God took that mud, and the Bible says, and he formed man of the dust of the ground. Your hair came from the dust. Your nose came from the dust. Your liver from the dust. Your stomach from the dust. Your intestine from the dust, your ears from the dust, your eyes from the dust. Everything that you see about your life right now, God just took the dust and then he put all of you together. Wow. But there was a problem. After God formed you, you were just a mass on the floor. You were just lying there. There was no life in you. Do you understand? The same thing that happens when a person dies. The same thing. Everything is there, but there's no life. Life has gone. This is how it started. The whole body was there. Your hair was there. Your liver was there. Your eyes were there. Everything was there, but nothing was working. Am I communicating to you? Because your life does not come from the grass, the ground, from dust. Your body comes from there. But the thing that makes you to function, the thing that causes you to exist, the thing that causes you to move and talk and think and see and assess things, that thing doesn't come from the ground, the dust of the ground. It doesn't come from there. That's why God took this ground and fabricated your whole body. But after he did all of that, you were inactive. You couldn't move. It's like a watchmaker who takes all the pieces of the watch, put all of them together, design the whole thing. Then when he finishes, he places the watch there. And he's looking at the watch. And the watch is looking at him. The watch is not working. Oh yes. You have put all the parts of the car together. They send you the parts of the car.
in China, you put all of them together and you have fixed everything, then the car is looking at you. And you are looking at the car. The car is not moving. Even though you put all the parts together,
one thing is missing. And that is what the Lord did next. And the Lord breathed into his nostril. So now something came from God. Remember your body he took from the ground. After he was done, you had no life. You were just dying there. Then something came from him. He is the life giver. That's why he can give life and take life. So he took inside your nostril. Something from God entered you. The breath of God entered into your nostril. The breath of life. And the man became a living being. You became a living being. For the first time in your life. For the first time in your life, you came alive. And all of this was because of the breath of God. And for you to understand that what God breathed there was not just air, it was the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. Go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Let me show you. Then you will understand quickly. Are you here?
Yes.
So people who are trying to survive without the Holy Spirit, they are dead. There's no life. We're not saying that you are not made. You are made. We are not saying that the business is not there. It's there. We are not saying that the idea, the business ideas are not there. Do you understand? That the career is not there. We are not saying that the achievements are not there. But something is missing inside. We are not saying that the marriage is not there. It's there. But there's no life inside. Everything is there. You have the certificate. You have everything. But there's no breakthrough. There's no breakthrough. Adam had his first breakthrough when breath entered him. He had all the elements in place. But there was no breakthrough. The liver couldn't work. You know what we say there's no breakthrough? That things are not working. The eyes couldn't work. The stomach couldn't work. But the stomach is there. God, the breakthrough is not there. You shall receive your breakthrough now. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Brothers and sisters, when you die, the first sign that we know that you, a human being, was somewhere, so we find the bones. No more life. Bones are a sign that life has departed. There's no life. Bones represent death. Ask pirates. Pirates, that team, pirates. They are using human bones to tell you that they are killing you. Human bones. A skull with some funny things doing like this. Full of bones. A valley full of bones. Verse 2. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. When bones are dried, means they've been there for a very long time. This situation has been around for a long time. It's a dry bone situation. It's a dry bone. It's a dry bone. The thing is dry. It's been around. Every bit of life has departed from it. Verse 4. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become live? No, give it to me in the New King James, please. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Huh? Can I give you a secret? When you don't know the answer, Avoid to speak negatively. Avoid to speak negatively. When you are not sure of the answer, don't speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are not sure of your answer, just say, we will see. Because many of us, if it was as God was asking these questions to Son of Man Seer, can these bones icon Amudimo? Here. There's nothing there. Forget it. Look, when you are not sure, avoid to give a wrong answer. Or avoid to give a negative answer. Son of Man, can that business live again? Can that marriage come back to life? Can something happen again in this family? Son of Man, can something change in this situation? With the dryness of the bones, can anything good happen again? Be careful what you answer at that time. Be careful the type of answer you give to God when you get such a question. That's many people, they just get no. And you have settled the matter. It's finished. You have settled the matter. This guy was clever. Ezekiel was deep. He said, "Oh Lord God, you know." Oh yes. I will never say no. I will never say it cannot happen. I will say, "You know. You know. You know the answer. You know the answer." When you don't know the answer, don't say anything negative. Am I communicating to you? Avoid to say negative answers when you are not sure. Just say, "You know, Lord. You know better." Amen? Now look at the next one. Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these dry bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath." I'm connecting this to Genesis that we just read now. "I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." Are you here? Ask your neighbor, "Are you here? Are you here? Are you here?" You are very quiet. Verse 6. "I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Listen to me, things are going to come together in your life, one after the other. It will look like nothing is happening, but as you begin to prophesy, as you begin to do, things start coming together. Things start coming together, this one and that one connecting together. Yes. Finally, you meet that person you are supposed to meet, and then it moves a bit further. Then finally, you are in the presence of this other person you're supposed to be in the presence. You finally read that book, and things start coming together. I see things coming together. I see things coming together. Yeah. They started coming together. The power of your words and prophesying the word of God. Declaring what God says. Not saying it cannot work. When you are not sure, just be quiet. We destroy our own miracles sometimes by speaking negative. You speak negative things because things look bad. A valley of dry bones. Everything is dry. Then you also just come and settle the deal. Here, nothing will ever work. No. No. Son of Man, can you work again? Can they employ you again after what has happened? You know. You know everything. I believe whatever you say. I believe whatever you say. I hold on to whatever you say. Whatever you say, I believe it. And then he starts getting information. Prophesy. Prophesy is simply speaking the mind of God over a situation. Speaking the mind of God over a situation. That is a prophecy. And you might not have money right now, but you can have the mind of God over the situation. And that is far more greater than money. And as this started speaking,
bone started moving. You just see one bone moving there, coming there. And then that one moved there and goes there. It's like something is pulling them. Ah, it's working. It's coming together. I see it coming together for you. Indeed, listen. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. That is back to Genesis chapter 2. The whole job has been done. The hands have been formed. The bones are inside. Everything is there. But there is no life. There's no life. There's no life. What am I trying to say? Sometimes you've done everything. Do you understand? You've submitted the right papers. You've gone to the right department. You've spoken to the right people. You've done all your hard work. Everything that you knew that was supposed to. Because he did what God told him to do. He did everything that he was supposed to do. But there was still no life. And he experienced a degree of miracle, but not the fullness of the miracle. The breath was not there. Verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they might live. Verse 10. So I prophesied, and as I commanded, the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. An exceedingly great army. They stood upon their feet. From a valley of dry bones to an exceedingly great army. You see those things that you are despising in your life? Those things that look like they are dead. Those things that look like there's no life in them. That your small cell with small people that you are looking at and you are despising, there is an army behind it. That your small money, maybe it's just 150, whatever it is, there is an army, there is a force behind it. If you could just learn how to speak, you could learn how to engage the breath of God into the situation. The breath of God. The breath of God. That's what we need in our lives. We need his breath to come into all these things that are going on in our lives. His breath to come inside your life. I'm not saying you are not coming to church. You are coming to church, most of you, very faithfully. But you still notice that there's something that is missing. What is that? The breath. The breath. The breath. So our watchmaker has finished with the watch. He's done. All the parts are there. But you know what he does? Then he wind it a little bit. He wind it a little bit. Then he clocked it. Chuck. Once he pressed that thing in, chuck. The whole thing. Chuck, 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 chuck. It started running. And that's exactly what God did. God designed you like a watch. When you were done, you were not working. Then he fine-tuned something. Chuck. And then you spark. You bring your car from China. You put all the parts together. You are done with the car. But the car is not moving. Then you take the key. You put inside. Then, it starts. It starts. And there you go. That's what the Lord did. You were ready. But he needed to ignite you. And by nature, the Holy Ghost's job is to ignite. He ignites you. He brings life to you. Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at Alive City Church, Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.